Running backs do matter. CMC in the pass game. The Niners miss him in the passing game.
I think there were two checkdowns this last week to Mason. Yep. To Mason, specifically.
Yeah, Spadoni and Meyer, you know, Josh Jacobs, Raiders. He's running hard at Green Bay, too. He's running hard.
He looks incredible. I don't think Malik Willis wins those two games without Josh Jacobs.
No, not at all.
I mean, it's pretty simple sentence.
I mean, Josh Jacobs is a problem. So, you know, running backs do matter. Now, Jordan Mason's been really good in the run game. Isaac Corindo, they're trying to work in there because, as Baldy said, we did the math on the carries with Jordan Mason. Can he last playing this style of football for an entire season? I mean, it's one thing with CMC, but he doesn't take the punishment. Jordan Mason is looking for trouble. Okay. He's looking for contact.
I don't think they have any other choice. I've kind of come to this conclusion. I don't think they have any other choice but to run this poor young man into the ground. Like, their season depends on it. I think they have. No, I'm dead serious. I'm not trying to be, heartless here when it comes to his overall health and all that, but I think he gives them their best chance to win. And I think because of the dire situation that they're in with the CMC injury, I think they have no other choice but to run him into the ground. And I honestly, I get it. And I'm not even going to, like, crush them. Like, do you trust Isaac Garendo right now?
Not right now, but you better. You better get him some touches. You better get him some touches, because it might be Grindel time soon. Who knows what the hell happens with Jordan Mason? Jordan Mason's solid. He's really solid. But let's see Isaac Grindel. Give him some more touches. Now, this is going to be a physical game, and the Patriots are going to be looking for that football. They got some playmakers on that defensive side of the football. So we'll get to it with Greg Bednar. But Brandon Ayuk, whenever he speaks this season, we're all going to be listening. Maybe hate listening. Maybe listening with vigor, right? Because Brandon Ayuk held in and he got the bag or whatnot, drove people crazy, and I get all that. But Brandon Ayuk yesterday, why maybe the Niners haven't clicked yet offensively when it comes to Brock Purdy and Brandon Ayuk. Listen to Brandon Ayuk in the locker room yesterday.
The team's defense is playing you any different this season through three games?
A little bit different. They just know what we want to do, what we like to do, me and Purdy especially. So
how do you work through that?
Practice today, trying to get in different spots, getting different looks. Yeah, working through that today.
Does that open things up for other guys, you think?
I think we all open stuff up for each other depending on where we're at, certain plays.
That's Brandon Ayuk there yesterday. Teams are playing differently when it comes to them. He did get 10 targets. You could say he dropped a couple. He's working himself back, but obviously he was part of the game plan last week.
It's just, I think for a segment of people, they're going to look at what C.D. Lamb's doing right now, and they're going to be like, oh, I mean, this guy, dude, he was in a no-show and showed up, and he's balling. What's going on with our guy? Like, I get that, you know? And he's just got to keep producing. Just go out there and just keep producing and keep doing what he's doing. If he's getting open on film and for whatever reason the quarterback's not throwing it to him, that's all he can worry about. He can't appease everyone all the time. You got to just play your game and make plays as they come to you and try to make the most of them. Like, there's no other option for him.
CeeDee Lamb is special. He is one.
Well, you made a big argument a couple years ago, I think it was last year, about the touches from a certain point on and how they were very comparable.
Right.
Just watching how Dallas uses CD, it's just very difficult to make the comparison because that feels like their offense is centered around CD Lamb.
No
and
doubt.
I don't think that Ayuk's offense is centered around
no
him.
No doubt. They force feed CD Lamb, and you look at the complement wide receivers. Do you fear Brandon Cooks at this point? He's still got the speed, but
Brandon
nobody
Cooks?
Fears him.
No.
You know, Ferguson's a solid tight end.
What's the guy number one? I actually like him.
Was it Torbert? Was it Colbert?
Tolbert.
Was it Tolbert or Colbert?
I actually like him. He's nice.
Not bad. He's not bad.
I mean,
bad,
as a three.
But I'm not their skill set in their running back position. What are they doing in a run game?
Getting stuff for behind the line of scrimmage.
By the way, Jerry and Stevie Jones was doing their whole little media tour this week. You know, they always go on 105.3 to Fed. They're always chopping it up. The fact that Jerry Jones still, he's unbelievable. But we didn't have the money to pay for Derrick Henry. Said they didn't have the money. And they're making all these excuses on why didn't he get Derrick Henry. And it's just, as a Niner fan, as a fan of football, I just know as long as Jerry Jones is running the show, I don't have to worry about the Dallas Cowboys when it comes to big games.
Well, I think the Dallas game last night to me spoke to where the Niners are at, which is You just have to win. You just, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how ugly. You just got to get a victory and walk away, right? Because now the Dallas Cowboys got 9 days or whatever to get ready for their next game.
And they play Pittsburgh.
Yeah, they're feeling really good about themselves. I think Baltimore finds themselves in a similar situation facing the Buffalo Bills this week.
What a game.
What?
What a game that's going to be.
It's going to be an incredible game. That's the Sunday Night Football slate.
Yeah, that's
but
why
I think the Niners obviously have the... In the realm of NFL, it's a cupcake opponent. I don't take anyone lightly in the NFL, period. I've already done that with the Vikings, and it egg all over my face. So they have got to stop the run, and they've got to heat up the quarterback. And this is a game where my premium players have to play like premium players. There's only so many of them on the field right now.
Yeah, no, they got to pull all out. But I think it's got to be one of them. Now, he may be shadowed. He may be shadowed by Gonzalez, who's a damn good corner. Christian Gonzalez wears number zero for the New England Patriots.
He's nice.
He's a damn good corner. He may shadow Brandon Ayuk all week, all game long. So does that mean more Juwan Jennings? Juwan Jennings showed that he can handle a full slate. He can handle a full load here when it comes to targets in the pass game. So I'm not mad at that. Jabril Peppers looks like he's going to be back playing in this game. I know he's banged up against the Jets. So Christian Gonzalez could shadow Brandon Ayuk. So look, I wouldn't freak out if Ayuk doesn't have a great stat line. Just win the game. It is a must win. You imagine coming to the studio on the Monday morning. I don't even want to put it out there. But they come in, and I already know what's going to happen on Monday. They could win. But if it's not sexy enough.
I disagree.
No. You disagree that there's going to be some cynics, some Niner fans that if they win 17-13 or 20-13.
Okay.
It's an ugly 20-13 without these weapons. What do Niner fans say on Monday?
I think that they come in and they're like, thank God we stopped the bleeding and we got to win. And when you look at the schedule, you're saying to yourself, like, you had to plug this thing because you got a big one against Arizona and Seattle and then the Chiefs and the Cowboys. Like, that four-game stretch before the bye is treacherous. So I hear you on, like, style point. I'm at the point now, style points are out the window. Just get a W.
I agree with you. But you don't think style points matter to a lot of fans when they know that, boy, we play like this. We only beat the Patriots 2013. And they see what the Jets did to them on Thursday Night Football. And they're looking at Arizona saying, oh, boy.
But is this team's not healthy enough to have style points.
I agree.
Right?
I agree.
So, like, when they're fully loaded, like, yeah, I'm with you. Like, all right, style points. You can't stop the run. You have had a tough time establishing the run in the second half of the last couple of weeks. You have had a difficult time finding a specific playmaker on third down. Like, I think there's a lot going on right now for the Niners. Your quarterback has, you know, day-to-day when it comes to back stuff. This to me is like, and especially given it's Arizona, then short week.
Short week up in Seattle.
This is you just got to win.
You know,
you just got to win.
I kind of want to go to that Seattle game. This defensive line, there's a concern going into Sunday. It's this defensive line. Are they going to be able to stop the run? This defensive line is getting desperate. We're not even out of September yet. Hargrave, out. May not come back. Out. Jordan Elliott? He's about to start. What happened?
Carted off. Lower leg. I don't know.
What? So we got no depth on the defensive line whatsoever. We already talked about edge depth being a concern. Now the D tackles are decimated. You got Malik Collins. You want to talk about getting worn out. Is he ready to play three snaps? Is he ready to play every snap, 90% of the snaps? That's what I'm looking at, Chasky. That defensive line, how do they perform this Sunday?
Bosa and Floyd. And I know Bosa way more than Floyd, but like those guys need to step up. They need to step up.
All right. Chris B on YouTube says 31-10 is what he's expecting. Get right game for our boys.
How can you say that?
Well, he's like you, man. Beat Minnesota by 20 on the road. What?
I mean, the Niners couldn't stop a nosebleed last week.
Chris B said this team responds with criticism and backs are against the wall. 31-10.
The teams that are doing really well right now are heating up the quarterback. The Vikings, top five in sacks, and there's lots of teams that are doing a great job up front. The hiding of what your actual defensive scheme is going to be on a given play, the way that they're disguising things. They're at an all-time high, and it feels like the Niners are almost, they're almost like stuck in relic land from like 10 to 15 years ago. This is what we're in. We're going to let the quarterback know exactly what our defense is, and you just have at it. Good luck picking us apart.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. 888-957-9570. Any concern over the Patriots? What is your key to the Patriots on Sunday?
Here's where I will grant you.
Operation got to win. Well, save it for the other side because we have to break. We have to break. Shameless shout-outs coming up at 7:45. Line them up. A lot of great high school football games tonight. Sarah at SI. Think about going. You got Reardon to Sacred Heart tomorrow. You got the AAA full slate. Will I show up at Reardon? Will they let me into Reardon? Will they let me onto their field? No, they don't like me up there at Reardon.
I'll be there. You can go with me.
Even with my Sacred Heart Cathedral sweater? Can I walk in with that? Yeah? No?
I got family on both sides.
All right, there you go. Double dip. Maybe I'll wear a split hat. What's coming up in the game brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Shameless shout-out, 745. And a key to a win on Sunday. How concerned are you with this defensive line? I want to hear from Niner fans on the other side here on the Roast.
What up? This is Turtle Pie Turtle from Frisco. If you're anything like me, you're getting hella roasted every day on the morning roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Yee!
All right, Turtle Pie, what is happening to Payday Friday here on the Roast? We got a great guest list coming up here, which I'll reveal in just a second, but I wanted to let everybody know, man, hey, this is my type of flow right here. Most wanted tickets in the Bay Area are here. It's Hip Hop Made the Bay, baby. Hip Hop Made the Bay, starring Too Short, Ja Rule, Bo Thugs, and DJ Quick. Friday, November 1st at the SAP Center. That's right, Ja Rule, Too Short, Bone Thugs, and DJ Quick.
Where is Ja?
It's going to be at SAP Center. That's where he's going to be. Tickets are selling fast. Get yours now at Ticketmaster.com. Our guest list, River Island's guest list, of course. Better visit the islands of River Islands, Lathrop, man. It's unbelievable. Fastest growing city in California. Fourth largest, I think, in the country, if I'm not mistaken. Ask Matt DeHegan to get my fact checks right. I may have screwed
up. Wait, the fourth largest community that's coming up fastest?
Fourth largest growing city. Get Matt DeHegan.
Wow, dude.
But the largest growing city, the quickest growing city in California, though. That's for sure. That's for sure. Got to look at my notes there. I just botched that. River Island's guest line, though. Greg Bernard, 8 o'clock. Covers the New England Patriots out there in Boston. Boston Journal. Brody Brazil, NBC Sports California, 8:30. And then Vern Glenn. Vern Glenn's going to join us at 9:20. And he can talk all things Bay Area as well. Vern Glenn's been making around. So, 888-957-9570, man. We got to get turned up for this Niners game. It's a must-win.
Really quick, Bonte, sorry to interrupt. It's the fifth largest growing city in America right now, not the fourth. Fifth, so you're
not
close.
The fourth. That was close, see? But the largest growing city in California, correct?
That is correct, yes. The four cities above it are Anna, Texas, Princeton, Texas, Fulshear, Texas, and Salina, Texas.
Wow. Well, so it's not the world's biggest little city.
It's not Reno.
Hey, shout out, Mac Dre.
You know River Islands is popping, though. They got an In-N-Out burger.
They got an In-N-Out burger? They do.
That's next level.
I'm telling you, I was blown away.
I thought you were one of the In-N-Out's overrated crowd.
It is overrated.
But it's in River Island.
It's properly rated.
You guys rated it so high. Rated. It's like, all right,
what are you
relax.
Talking about?
They got the River Islands bump. Once you move into River Islands. Hold on.
The fact that River Island, because it took San Francisco a very long time to get an In-N-Out burger.
What does that have to do with anything?
The fact that Lathrop has an In-N-Out burger tells you what they're talking about.
Yeah, they're on the map.
They're on the map, baby, in a big way.
And so's In-N-Out. In-N-Out's delicious.
It's fine.
Does it take a little longer than I want? Absolutely. Every time.
The quality for the price is undefeated.
It's the best bang for the buck.
It's not even close.
Joe, one day you'll be taking little Benny to and from baseball games, and you're going to have four or five other kids in the car. For $50, everyone's stuffed. I don't care. Where can you go and get a car full of kids completely filled after a sporting event
Chick-fil-A.
For $50.
Chick-fil-A and our girl Susanna.
Well, Chick-fil-A's excellent, too. Yeah, I put them in the same category. They're both excellent.
Chick-fil-A's unbelievable.
I love Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A's unbelievable. Oh, my God.
But I will not tolerate In-N-Out is overrated. It's properly rated. It's
why
excellent.
Won't you tolerate it?
It takes a little longer than I like, but it's excellent.
If I think it's overrated, why do you care? It's my opinion.
Who says it's the greatest burger that ever lived?
I just said it's a little, the way we talk about it out here, it's like God's greatest. There's In-N-Out snobs who just think nothing, but, oh my God, In-N-Out burger is just, it's okay. It's fine. It's a burger. The french fries are blah.
I would agree on the french fries, but you know what? When they're hot and they're piping, they're not bad.
You get them crispy, you get them well done, and then you get them animal style.
I mean, that might be a poll question, because it seems like it's got everybody rolling on YouTube and Xfinity Mobile text line. a lot of people say overrated.
I mean, some people are saying about the Niners defense right now is a little overrated.
Well, it's probably rated right now. No defensive line. The D-line, it's beat up.
What is overrated about it? This is where I want to break this down. What do you mean by overrated? Overrated as in what?
The taste, the hype that everybody gives it, which is unreal. It's like, oh my God, nothing can touch In-N-Out Burger. No, there's burgers that can touch it. Chick-fil-A burgers can touch it. Whataburger ain't bad either.
Whataburger's garbage.
No, Whataburger's good. Whataburger's good. It is very, very good. Well, look, that's our poll question. Is In-N-Out overrated? And that's all. It's just a lot of hype, and I'm just like, it's okay, burger. It's all
Chick-fil-A. You can't compare to Chick-fil-A. Also, it's way different. One's
it's
chicken.
Way different.
Exactly.
No doubt.
And
no
it's
doubt.
Fried chicken.
No doubt.
It's delicious.
No
they're just they're in two different categories.
Yeah, it's,
for me.
In-N-Out is whatever. It's whatever. You go in there, you get it. Whatever. It's the fries are. You like the French fries in In-N-Out?
No, the double double's immaculate. So is the shake.
Right. The French fries, though, you gotta.
What do they call it? A tuxedo shake or whatever? Yeah. It's the black and white, the yellow.
Probably. I get the Neapolitan.
Saying,
I get all
Neapolitan. Okay.
I'm just saying, I've had better. I've had better. It's all.
What?
I've had better.
What is better?
I told you Whataburger's better. Well, I told you Chick-fil-A's better. Super Duper Burger's better.
Super Duper's excellent, but it's a local chain.
Yeah, but it's still better.
So it's In-N-Out for a minute.
Yeah, there you go.
So maybe that's the next step for Super Duper Burger, but what's the next step for the Niners this weekend, though, guys?
I don't know why he still wants to come down. If I think it's overrated, it's fine. I'd still go there and eat it. It's not like I don't eat the burger. Sometimes you got to make a quick stop on the freeway and have some In-N-Out burgers.
What is going on here? I think
if you
the
were in a car,
fries are just like,
if you're in a car with people, you're like, hey, guys, we're all starving. Let's go to an In-N-Out burger. No one's like, no, it's overrated. I'm not. No, no, no. Let's go to Bob's Burgers over here on the side of the freeway. Everyone's like, hell yeah. The whole car's like, let's do it.
You know what, 510? You're right. I'm with you on this one. Thanks for the mobile text on. I'm with 510. Five Guys is better.
Okay. When you have to spend $20 for a burger, I'm out. Like, that's, again.
Hey, man, we live in California,
I don't love
dude.
Five Guys fries
no,
either.
That's the thing with In-N-Out, as we put a bow on this conversation.
I do like it.
It's the price
Five
point.
Guys is good.
All right,
the price point
fine.
Is
price
the most
fine.
Important part of
price
it,
price point's fine. But the fries, can we all, the fries are not good to In-N-Out, right?
It's fine. I don't
they're
go
okay.
to, it's fine. The burger's
got to be good.
Okay.
The fries,
well, McDonald's has the best fries.
I mean, the fries are not
right?
good.
Yeah, they're number one. It's, everyone has a different number one, and that's okay. But McDonald's fries are number one. I like the Chick-fil-A a waffle fry.
And Tyler, I didn't say Brock Purdy was better than Joe Burrow. I said he's playing better football than Joe Burrow. You got to listen to
Purdy,
words, Tyler.
In-N-Out of burger chain.
You got to listen to the words, man. I said he was a more talented player, but Brock Purdy had been playing better football than Joe Burrow. That's a fact.
If
those
you have
facts.
One guy that you can magically say, you have to have a great game on Sunday, who
oh
is that
God.
Player?
It's Nick Bosa. I'm going to ride that gravy train all season long. 97. You have to dominate. You have to dominate this team. You have to start dominating and controlling the game. And making them say, you know what? We can't run any plays to number 97 side.
Okay.
We can't run plays towards you. We can't pass the ball towards you. We can't roll out towards you. We can't run play action passes towards you. Nick Bosa has to dominate. He has to be all-time great on Sunday. And he's going to have to be all-time great every Sunday. We'll get to figure out who the offensive tackles are for the New England Patriots. But this is another game where Nick Bosa should be able to rack up some stats.
I wonder how many people are in agreement with you on that. I'm going to go to Jordan Mason, because I think if Jordan Mason has a monster game, that tells me the Niners are in control. We know they want to get to that magical 35 to 40 runs per game. So I'm going to go with Jordan Mason. I think he's been so underrated through the first three games, and I would love to see him finish the second half strong, unlike the last two games where it felt like it got away from the run and it got stymied a little. I'd like to see them have, I think Brock's going to have another good game. You know, I want to take the safeties as a combo, but that's taking two players, so I'm going to go with Jordan Mason.
The safeties do have to be better.
Right?
But the philosophy, are they going to switch their philosophy up? Will there be some lineup changes on this 49ers defense, like Devondre Campbell?
Did you hear what he said this week?
No, I have not.
Oh, they asked him, you know.
Oh, no, he talked.
Oh, you didn't hear this?
No, I didn't.
And I'm paraphrasing. It was something to the effect of like, you know, I was surprised that they tried other people at my spot. It's like, what?
Wait, what?
You were surprised?
Wait, with the 49ers?
Yeah.
Wait, he was surprised that other players were getting reps in his spot?
Yeah, during the game. Let me find it. I sent it to the group thread.
Oh, he was surprised?
Yeah, he was surprised.
Well, I'm surprised to see you in pass coverage. I mean, Devondre Campbell's got to get better. Like,
here it is.
Teams are going to start identifying number 59 to start picking on him. It's like basketball, right? It's just like basketball when you get to pick your own switch. You're like, we're looking for the weakness, looking for the weakness. Read the quote. Please do it.
Eric Branch, I spoke with 49er linebacker Devondre Campbell, who was surprised to share snaps on Sunday. Quote, unquote, it was kind of sprung on me. Surprised. And then I you know, the Homer Simpson meme, surprised.
Oh, boy.
Devondre, love you, pal.
Dude,
I don't love you. But
he looked up on that pass interference afterwards. He knew. Like, it was. They threw three flags in that vicinity. It was like, damn. Somebody wants to hear me about the Jack in the Box story. Let me hear your best story about Jack in the Box. I got no stories. I got a story from Greg Cosell, though, who joined Willard and Dibbs. And he says the Niners may have to change their defensive line philosophy without Javon Hargrave.
I think the thought was that they have a really good pass rush D line. And if you feel you can rush the quarterback with four and impact the quarterback, then you want to rush with four because that gives you seven in coverage. That's the way a lot of coaches think. Now, not every coach does. Now you're getting into a philosophy, and there's no right or wrong about philosophy. Philosophy is often based on your personnel. And I'm sure they thought that they could create meaningful pressure on quarterbacks in those critical high leverage situations, third downs, important plays in games. But now with Hargrave gone, and I assume for the year, they may have to reassess that. And we'll see if they do or they don't. But I would imagine that that's a conversation they're having this week, because Hargrave's a very, very good inside pass rusher. He was a really strong bull rusher who drove offensive guards and centers back into the pocket. They don't have that guy now. So now we'll see if they feel that they have to turn up the heat and create some more pressure with blitz concepts. So now we'll wait and see. But the mere fact that they have a low rate of blitz does not automatically mean it's wrong.
So that's Greg Cosell joins Willard and Dibbs every single week. He breaks it down with the best of them. We got Baldy. They have Greg Cosell. Not a bad lineup here at 95.7 a game when it comes to guys breaking down the league. But it's another guy we heard about, Javon Hargrave, that he gets pressure, that he knows how to, you know, push back guards into the pocket. And did we underrate Hargrave's importance to this team? Because from naked eye, when I listen to us and I listen to other shows, oh man, Hargrave ain't good, he ain't doing anything, he's a waste of money. But then you hear Shanahan say, boy, he's having his best game. Then I hear from other people who are experts in the league saying, boy, Hargrave's going to be missed. He is going to be missed in this defense. I don't know what to think.
Well, he's going to be missed because the backups aren't very good. I mean, that's one element. Like, what is his value versus the replacement player coming into play over him, right? Yeah. Like, that's a part of the equation. I think he's a solid player. Is he worth $22, $24 million a year? Absolutely not. Like, those are two separate conversations, right? Like, is he solid? Yeah. Is he worth what? No. Like, no, he's not worth that money. And so, like, oh, he'll be sorely missed. Well, look, yeah, he probably will be missed to a degree, but it's not like they were shutting down the world with him.
Right.
No, so, I don't know. I think that people obviously know who he is, and he's got a high profile, and he plays a lot of snaps, or at least has the last couple of years, so there's value in that. Was it even close to the value I was looking for, given how much it costs to bring him in? No, not really.
No. Not really at all. And then
I think both those things can be true at the same time.
By the way, shameless shout outs in 15 minutes. Shameless shout outs in 15 minutes. 888-957-9570. I'm sure a lot of A's fans have some shout outs. Shout out to the Coliseum and the A's fans yesterday. That'd be my shout out. Shout out to you guys for putting on the show yesterday at the Cali. Greg Cosell on the DBs getting beat over the top. Now I want to hear this.
The thing you always have to be careful of is it's the NFL. Guys are going to get beat, corners in particular. So that doesn't mean they're bad players. What happened was is Atwell motioned across the formation on the 50-yarder, so he had free access into his route, and Ward was playing with outside leverage. And Atwell is fast. I think he's a sub-440 guy. So he just got on top of Ward, who may not have been, may not, I don't know what's in his head, but my guess is he may not have been expecting that route. So, you know, he just got behind him, and Stafford made a great throw. But Ward's a good player. You know, the question is really on the other side, because Yadam is a guy that's been with a lot of teams. You know, you can line him up. There's no question. He can play in the league. But, you know, I think that's one reason why they drafted Green, who got some time, obviously had the holding penalty in the end zone. But we'll see if, as time goes on, if Green is able to win that job, because Green is, he's a physical, competitive, feisty kind of corner who played a ton of press man in college at Florida State. But for now, he may not be ready, so they're going with the veteran Yadam, who's, like I said, he's played a lot of snaps in this league.
You know, I'm going to get real dorky here, okay? I don't pretend to be Greg Cosell, and I don't pretend to be Brian Baldinger when it comes to, like, studying the film. But when you watch what McVay did against the Niners in this game, bunch formations with the wide receivers, and either they're all running these kind of like rub pick routes where they're all kind of together and they splinter off and it creates chaos at the top of the at the top of wherever top they of break route. Off at 8, 9, 10 yards down the field, or they have a bunch of people bunched up and they're running a guy in motion and using the two receivers in front of that guy to kind of clear out some space to give that guy a head start in running and then crossing him across the field. And they're saying to themselves, like, well, Tutu's not a big, strong, physical guy who can get off of press coverage, but if he's moving and he's running really fast, it's hard for a guy, even as good as Ward is, even though speed's not a strength, to stay with that guy in a foot race. I just thought McVay was really, really smart in how he deployed Tutu versus us.
Couple things. One, you know, you could always use emotion to see if you're, see if that defense is a man in coverage, to see if they're trying to disguise something. Number two, they came into that game running 11 personnel 100% of the time. 11 personnel, one running back, three wide receivers, one tight end. They went to 12 personnel in this game, two tight ends, two wide receivers, and a running back. They adjusted, and they got that run game rolling, to which put that play-action pass into play. And you get that play-action pass rolling with that bunch formation, whether it's trips right or trips left, three receivers to one side or three receivers to the other side. You start running that stuff, and you get the play-action pass rolling, and you can run the ball out of it. It's a deadly formation. You can't get your hands on these guys. And then when you add the fact that Tarvarius Ward was obviously compromised. You go watch the out-and-up DeMarcus Robinson ran, and they missed him on that play. Tarvarius Ward, Shasky, literally fell down. He fell down. He was not right. He probably should not have played in that football game. There's no excuses. Once you strap up your uniform, strap up that chin strap, put your uniform on, there's no excuses. You got to go out there and play, and if you get beat, you get beat. But he obviously shouldn't have played because he was not right whatsoever. They attacked him relentlessly in that second half. And you don't see that with Tarvarius Ward. He's a really good corner, an all-pro for crying out loud. On that 2-2 Atwell 50-yard bomb, it wasn't even close. So the bunch formation definitely bothered him, but I think he also just had a compromised corner who was battling a knee and hammy. It's the reason why he was out of practice last week.
I think the 50-yard bomb is obviously like a big play. They did it on third down a bunch of times, and then they isolated our safeties in one-on-ones in the passing game, and that's not necessarily a strength.
Well, not only that, Hufanga's first game back, I think the speed at the safety spot is, much as I love Tig Brown and Hufanga, and their, especially Hufanga's ability to be a ball hawk, I don't think we're as athletic off at the safety spot. You don't have that ball hawk free safety that I'm looking for. I need one. And right now, I don't know if you can get through the season with just Tig Brown and Hufanga playing free safety. Now, I know they may run three safety highs at some point, but right now, the safety spot is a problem. Well, they've been getting picked on. And Tig Brown got picked on at times in that game, too.
Are they projecting Malik Mustafa to be a free safety?
You would think he would be a strong safety.
Yeah, that's what I would think. I don't know, man. That's just what they like. It's the kind of safeties that they like.
I want a true free safety.
Yeah.
I want a true free safety. He's going to play the deep third of the field. He's going to play over the top. He's a ball hawk. He has speed. Like, you just look at the athleticism. Look, now, Justin Jefferson's a special player. But I mean, look at what he did to Tank Brown at Odom on that 97-yard touchdown. Did you think about Tutu Atwell? And now you got this Douglas kid coming in from New England, and not to mention Marvin Harrison next week, and Jackson Smith and Jigba and DK Metcalf the week after, and I could get going with the Kansas City Chiefs and then CeeDee Lamb and the Cowboys. They got to fix this in a heartbeat. If you don't have a pass rush and you can't stop the run, your DBs are going to get cooked. Well, and that means your defense is not going to be good.
Stopping the run is like paramount, especially against Stevenson. Like he's a big, I think he's a big time back. And he plays on a team where I don't think they get to highlight him as well as that he could on another team. I think he's a big player, and I think they're going to have to stop him, and they're going to probably mix up going inside and to the outside. The outside linebackers need to step up. You know, what are they going to make a personnel change there? Do they even have one in the holster? Is D. Right. Winter's going to be healthy?
Well, do you make that switch with Campbell? When's that coming?
Campbell's not good. He's just not. I don't know what you want me to say. I mean, like, it just, he's not good.
Nick Sorensen spoke yesterday, defensive coordinator for the 49ers. Not going to sugarcoat it?
Well, there was a point in time where Derek Smith was assault. Like, go back in time. Derek Smith and Jeff Ulbrich were your linebackers, and there was a point in time they had a nice season. And then it clearly was like, oh, they're too slow. They're just way too slow, and they're too stiff, and they're too upright. And that time has come for Devondre Campbell.
Yeah, it may have come. It may have came. It's not a good game Sunday against the Rams. Not a good game. Nick Sorensen, what's going on with this team? What is going on with this defense?
I think it's a culmination. It hasn't really ever been one thing or one coverage. It's kind of been a culmination of things, and it just hasn't been good enough overall. You know, it's not one person. Like I said, it's just be a little better here, a little better there. As always, I always look at myself first, and I should. I mean, it's my defense, and I'm the coordinator, but I take responsibility of that. And I think we just all feel that way. That's a cool thing. All us coaches, we got to coach better, and players have that, feel that challenge as well for themselves. Yeah, I think we're looking at a bunch of guys, and Jordan Elliott's been rotating in, and so does Kevin. So those guys in particular, you know, you think of it to step up, and it goes from there. You know, we've got guys on practice squad, so I think it's just a matter of getting guys trained, and that's why you have practice squad, so that they're trained up and see who can step in and make plays for us.
Practice squad guys getting called up already in week number four. Now, you know, somebody just asked me about Renardo Gaines playing free safety. He played 5 snaps at free safety in 2023. He's a corner now. I mean,
this is at Florida State?
At Florida State.
I didn't even know that. Yeah.
He played like 5 snaps there. Okay. So, but he was interchangeable. He could play, man. This kid could play, but I think they slot him at corner. Now, may have to look into that. You may have to look into that. I'm not saying that all options are off the table, but it's something you may have to look at, man, because I'm very concerned about the safety position.
The Athletic and there was a couple different places have done deep dives on passing and offenses. And the question is basically, why is offense down? Right? That's the essential question.
Right.
And the answer was all over the place. There was quarterback development, your point about coordinators leaving. There's only like 5 offensive coordinators that have stuck with their team for 2 or more years that are currently employed right. in the NFL. So there's a lot of like coordinator movement. Mm-hmm. But the big part for me, outside of the offensive lines and quarterbacks and defenses are disguising what they are running more than ever. It is a trend throughout the league. And so faking pre-snap and then doing something totally different once the ball is hiked is in vogue right now. Showing cover 2, flipping to cover 3. Showing cover. Single high, flipping to something else. Right?
Showing cover 0.
Exactly.
And then bailing back, which Brian Flores does a lot of. You see Mike Zimmer when he used to mug his linebackers in the A-caps, and then all of a sudden they bail out to the zones there in the middle of the zone. So, yeah, no, and they should.
But
they should be disguising these things. Or should we outlaw that too, Mel Kiper?
Well, never at a time has two safeties ever been employed more than right now. Like in terms of them since 2006 being able to study it. The team that's at the lowest of all of these things, whether it's disguising your coverages or whatever, are the Niners.
Right.
They almost feel like they're running an antiquated defense in contrast to what the rest of the league is running currently. I'm sure it has its strengths. I would love to dive deeper into that. But you also mix in, so not only are they not disguising what they do, the least amount in the league. They're also blitzing the least amount in the league.
Right.
And again, it's early. We're a month in. I'm sure the trends will evolve. But you see the teams that are blitzing, at least generously, they are seeing the rewards of that, right. And they're sacking the quarterback more, and there's a correlation to sacks end up equaling drives that right. get stalled out.
It is early, though. It is early. And I'm kind of with the 408. Disguising defenses is nothing new. Belichick's been doing this for many, many years.
But they've been, it's not nothing new. But what I'm saying is that they're doing,
I
want to make sure I'm saying this right. They're checking the percentages of how many teams and how many plays in a game a right. team disguises a coverage and then goes to something different. And right now, the percentages of that are higher than they've been over the last 18 years that they've studied right. it.
I would say this, too, with the lack of preseason, especially in today's NFL, the defenses are ahead of the offenses in the month of September. I think by a long shot anyway, because the offense is not – I think it's easier to gain a defensive rhythm or consistency if you have the same amount of guys playing defense than it is offensively. You got to know where a guy's going to be in the spot. You got to have timing right, timing down in the pass game or whatnot. How are you going to run block? Well, you don't know if you're going to run block because you're not doing it in the preseason. You don't know how good your running game is going to be or whatnot until you get out there and face another opponent. So – I do think we'll see as the season goes on, offenses will get better. But it is fascinating to me, Shasky, that so many people are panicking about the lack of offensive production and the passing attacks or whatnot. We're 3 weeks into the season. Are we that desperate to see a bunch of points? I kind of like this football right now. Hard hitting, low scoring games. Give me more of this. I'm tired of the 45, 42 games every single week. At the arcade, we're not playing video games.
I don't care about league-wide trends. I just worry about, like, why are the Niners, why are they struggling on defense? Well, I guess that's the question that I'm coming to.
Well, like, it's personnel.
Well, yeah.
Personnel's one, so you can't sit in your front four all day long and just rush the passer because you don't have DeForest Buckner, D. Ford, and Eric Armstead. You got Nick Bosa and maybe Jordan Elliott, and now you have Leonard Floyd. I mean, and so you're not getting to the quarterback in the wide nine. You don't have a lot of speed guys to rush the passer, so you're not getting home in the wide nine. And even when you do blitz, you're not getting home. You're just blitzing just to blitz, it feels like. So their blitz is not getting home. That's a problem.
The way I would summarize it from what I've been reading and kind of looking at where the Niners are, they look very predictable and antiquated on defense, schematically. And I think that it goes hand in hand with a drop off in personnel. And I think that's why you're seeing what you've been seeing. So now you're going up against a team that the Patriots, if I were to just tell the average NFL fan, what's the Patriots game plan on offense? Well, they're going to try to run the ball, do some play action stuff with Jacoby Brissett. They're not going to spread you out and try to dice you up. This should be a game where the Niners defense should be able to contain them a little. And so you're asking about Joe, style points. How do you win? The one way where I will come out of a game feeling like, even if the Niners win, if they give up like 30 to this New England offense and they still end up winning the game, that's probably the one scenario where I will come out of the game saying, we've got some big issues here. Because you're pacing way more potent offenses in the coming weeks.
Yeah, no doubt about that. 888-957-9570. Shameless Shadow's going to start in a minute here. Here's Nick Sorensen asking about game preparation and adjustments.
A lot of the preparation is done now. It's done during the week, and you kind of prepare for the situations. There are tweaks that you do have to. Sometimes you can pre-think, okay, if this happens, we're ready to go to this, that you might have some tweaks in-game. That's why you always hear people talk about halftime adjustments. Sometimes you have those. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you don't need them necessarily, or you decide that you don't, you know, need to have something called that you have on the sheet based on what they're deciding to do, and you're just kind of figuring each other out and seeing how it's working within the game. But I think primarily most of the work is done throughout the week.
It is sad, though, that here we are a couple weeks into the season and we're like, boy, this defense is so loaded. Oh my gosh, the cornerback room is so deep. The safeties, oh man, the defensive line is going to work great together. Then you're going to get Drake Greenlaw back, and now we're talking about personnel. Now we're talking about predictability. Now we're talking about whether or not this system is outdated or whatnot. And a lot of people have been clamoring for a scheme change for a couple years now when it comes to the Y9 and the 4-3 system. But to the disguising point and having creative blitzes, you do have Fred Warner, who I do believe could be a very good blitzer. But you need Fred Warner in a pass coverage.
I was just going to say, you can't take him out of the middle of the field.
So now that makes the loss to Drake Greenlaw even bigger. So how do you generate pressure without blitzing? Can you do it with the personnel that you have right now? Leonard Floyd has got to step up. There's no doubt about that.
Let me ask you about that. Like, I headed into this season thinking that Leonard Floyd was going to be an upgrade over you know, Randy Gregory, Chase Young, whatever else they had there last year.
It's been the same.
Yeah.
It's been the same.
I would agree. Okay. And then the other D tackles, like, I think Malik Collins has actually been pretty good. Javon Hargrave's been okay, you know, I guess, but now he's out, so we'll see. The big loss to me and the big difference is Trey Greenlaw. Trey Greenlaw's a huge game changer for this defense. Linebacker is extremely important, the guy who plays alongside Fred Warner, and, you know, Baldy said it, and I now see what he's seen. When your linebackers play fast, the whole defense looks faster, and they just look a step slow and a step old, and it's that spot of Dre Greenlaw, the intensity, the physicality, his instincts,
his
ability to make plays, separating guys from the ball, the fear factor. He brings so much to the table. I underrated his impact dramatically.
Yeah, no, he is a special talent. And the first time since he's been out, I felt this Sunday against the LA Rams, his spirit, his energy, his swagger. Something was missing Sunday from that defense, a lack of juice. And Fred Warner, he didn't have his best game, he'll admit it. But boy, he keeps saying, I keep hearing too many my bads, my bads, my bads. At some point, you have to correct it. All right, let's get to shameless shout-outs here on the roast.
It's Friday.
Yeah, I'm a shameless, horrible human being.
Your chance to shamelessly shout-out whoever or whatever you want.
I need to shout-out somebody. I forget their names. Mm-hmm. They would know who I am if they're listening.
It's time for shameless shout-outs.
How do you like that, Mr. Funkake?
Well, you know you make me wanna kick my heels up and down.
It's funny. I got another little jokey joke there.
Okay.
I'm still from YouTube. Who drank my beer? Where's the Niner gear, Shasky? Jerk game off today, homie. Let me say this.
I'm taking my grandfather out to lunch.
Hold on. You don't have to explain yourself.
I am.
But I was going to make a jokey joke. Because when they lost to Minnesota, you were down so bad, you came in the next day wearing Giants gear.
Okay.
Niners need a win so Shasky can wear a Niner hat for crying out loud.
Am I supposed to dress in costume every day?
Where's Papa? How's Papa Shasky?
I'm going to take him out, and I'll give a shout-out to Grandpa. Yeah. Almost 90 years old, Grandpa and me and Michelle and the little guy, we're all going to go out to lunch today. We're going to have a great time. Love you, Grandpa. You got to go take out, you know, the older people in your life that mean a lot to you.
I love that.
You know, take the time to do it while they're here and they're cognizant and all that, whatnot. But I have some shout-outs. Let's start here. You said tonight, S.I. versus Sarah.
Shout-out to the Green Door, too, right?
Why you gotta do that?
He's a 90-year-old
man. Leave him alone.
What I do?
Just stop.
No, what
stop
I do?
Somewhere Uncle Matt's going, Bonte.
I got a text. Somebody said, hey, man, I'm ready to pop a Papa Shasky. I said, where? Stop. And they're like, I said, oh, man.
Come on.
I love him even more now.
Why do you guys got to do
I
that?
I love him even more now. Ain't nothing wrong with a little marijuana.
In California. What's wrong?
Leave him alone.
Ain't nothing wrong with a little smoke pass. Little puff pass.
Right. Grandpa sounds really cool.
Yeah, I want to hang out with him more.
Oh, my God. You guys are killing me. All right. Shout out. Tonight, you said 7 o'clock. I'm going to try to be out there. Sarah's
S.I.
At S.I.
Lights. Under the lights.
Under the lights. That'll be beautiful. Bring a coat. Because
yes,
it'll be foggy.
Be very cold.
And then tomorrow I'm going to be out there, Reardon, Sacred Heart, a battle in the city. It's going to be awesome on the new turf field. It's been there a couple of years. It sounds like it's going to be a who's who. JP Money might be joining me at some point tomorrow.
No, I'm definitely not going there.
He thinks he's the governor of Sacred Heart.
Oh, he went to Sacred Heart?
Of course he did. His dad's like on the board. You like shake his dad's hand when you graduate.
Wow.
Shout out Uncle Jeff, smartest man I know.
Wow. No wonder. So he went, oh boy. God, that says a lot about JP Money. I was thinking about it because, you know, my barber's the offensive coordinator at Sacred Heart Cathedral, Pat Holmes. What up? Coach Evans. I ran into them at the Sarah St. John Bosco game a couple weeks ago at Sarah High School. I was thinking about going out there to Ritter tomorrow. Now, one, I know we got some funk with Ritter, or I do got some funk with
Ritter. There's no funk.
They love me at Ritter.
You walk in with me, you're fine.
Oh, I walk in by myself. I think I'm fine anywhere.
Okay.
That's an ego. That's a terrible take by me.
Yeah,
I shouldn't be that egotistical. Yes. But it is, too. I can dial up the phone. Hey, I'm coming through tomorrow. Shout out Caesar. So I'm going in with Sacred Heart. I'm even thinking about giving Sacred Heart a pep talk to win that game.
I have some more shout outs. Shout out.
Wait, you got more shout outs?
Yeah, 13U inviting Bonte Hill into the fantasy football draft. And not only did Bonte join it with Bernardo and Laith and Liam and Charlie. Bonte was in the chat talking smack during the draft.
Yeah.
You know how much these kids were so happy? Now, I want you to now tell them what you're going to do to them in this league.
Oh, I'm going
to
destroy you guys. You guys are all playing for second place.
I thought you weren't adding any more new leagues, Bonte.
I thought I wasn't either.
Wait,
but,
you skimping on 95.7? You're going to hang out with these little kids? What gives?
I had to do it for the kids.
Oh,
man.
Please.
I had to do it for the kids.
You didn't want the smoke.
I would have. You guys are not on my... I play fantasy football, Guru. It's not on my level. Steiny, come on, man.
Steiny was in the championship last year.
Was he?
Auto draft.
Maybe I should get back in that league. It sounds like a money grab. It sounds like some quick cheddar. I could use that. But no, these little kids, I do it for the kids, man. I love the kids.
God.
I love the kids. So,
I'm not
going
to sugarcoat it. I can sit here and do a sugarcoat job.
Our boy Charlie, who likes to hit the gritty in the outfield to do the bow and arrow, my team name in that league is Charlie's Gritty. And we was talking. We was talking while I was giving Baby Chaz a bath. That's why my picks went out a little too long. I forget, I think I'm on the clock while I'm washing her booty in the bathtub.
Bonte did get the highest or second highest rated.
Oh, I got an A?
Draft, yeah.
Yeah, I got an A. I don't like those.
Usually a kiss of death.
Yeah, it is a kiss of death. Because all my other leagues, I got C's, and I'm 3-0 in one league, 2-1 in one league with two high scores. I'm 2-1 in another league.
Regardless, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do a 15 and under fantasy draft in baseball and in basketball for all the kid listeners of the roast. We're not letting adults in.
I can't do basketball.
Why not?
Too connected to the NBA. No gambling, no fantasy sports.
Me and Sam and Spadoni will do one on your behalf.
All right, thank you.
All right, let's go out to the lines.
Can I give a shout out? You just gave 10 shout outs. Love it. You got a shout out?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a Hurricanes game day. We're taking on Virginia Tech today. So shout out to my Miami Hurricanes. 4-0, a chance to go 5-0, 19.5-point favorite at home.
Beamer ball.
I just got three words to say to you, Mario. When the time comes, knee the ball. Don't try and get fancy. Don't try and run the score up. Just take a knee. End the game. Let's all go home.
You may not want to say take a knee out here. Be careful when you say take a knee.
Jerry Jones, take a knee. You do
okay, all right. Take a knee in the football sense. Victory formation. Have your quarterback snap the ball. Get down on one knee. Run the clock out. Don't do something stupid.
Did you just got to Tim Tebow it.
Yeah, did I tell you the story when the Cowboys destroyed the Niners at Levi's? I went down to the Cowboys presser. Jerry Jones was holding court. So I go, it was during the time of the take a knee era and whatnot. And I go, Jerry, did you and Jet York discuss anything about the national anthem, maybe taking a knee or whatnot? He goes, no, we didn't. And he gave me a wink.
He winked at
and
you?
And he winked at me and moved on so quick. I was like, damn, he sunned me. He winked at me. We didn't.
Could you smell the Johnny Walker blue on him?
Nah, he was feeling good. They won 40-10 that night.
That was the game Zeke went
Yeah,
wild.
He went crazy. They played Eric Reed at middle linebacker. great time at Levi's. Well, Spadoni,
I'm
going to
shout out my In-N-Out Burger order, because shout out In-N-Out Burger. When I think of burgers and quality with price, I think of In-N-Out Burger. Hi, I'm Joe Spadoni, and I order a 3x3 animal style.
What?
Add the raw onions on top of the caramelized onions, Joe Shasky. You add chopped chilies in there as well. And can I add a well-done fry animal style and a Neapolitan shake?
Wow.
There you go.
It's like 2,000 carbs. So worth it.
Good for you.
It's the best.
No wonder you can't run sprints right now, man.
Run.
It's terrible.
You still run?
Well, I do the treadmill. I do the treadmill 12, 3 for 30.
There you go.
I swim.
12 incline, 3 pace, 30 minutes.
I'm a shout-out A's fan. By the way, somebody's saying Reuter by Reuter. Hey, Shaker Hart. Somebody just texted and said Reuter's going to win, and they're going to be running the clock in the second half.
I don't know. Let's let it play out. I hope it's a great game.
How about this? Wow. How about this? This is terrible. I got to stop this. 510, City Mobile text line. My son Xavier wants to shout out Bonte. He likes when you sometimes cuss and say ass. He thinks it's funny. He says you should be Bonte the Butcher.
It's actually not bad.
You like that, huh? Yeah. You like
so then that?
Look at his smile over here. Look at his smile over here. Whose smile was wider just now? Shasky's or was Steph called Steiny yesterday to wish him happy birthday for his 60th? Steiny was cheese and ear
to
ear. I'm
going to be humble in this one.
Oh, man.
I think you were the one who was jealous of the Steiny shout out by Steph.
Why would I be jealous?
Because, you know, you're friends with Steph and you're Mr. Warrior. And
why would I be jealous?
Just,
How would you spin Stiney?
Steph is your account.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
He's everybody's account.
No, you, that's, I would assume he would call in for yours.
My birthday was on a Sunday.
I know. I still think he'd call in for you.
No, he wouldn't. Why? Nobody knows my birthday.
A little bit of jealousy.
No,
hey,
for you.
Shout out some of these callers waiting online to give their own shout outs.
Wait, so. I'm happy for Stiney. Bob Myers called him, Bully called
I'm
him.
Happy with Brock Purdy.
I'm happy with Brock Purdy.
I'm happy for Matt Simons.
When Shasky walked in the media center, behind the scenes, we weren't supposed to be there, but, you know, since I'm kind of the unofficial mayor of Chase Center, I walked in, and what did Steph Curry say? The hardest working man in Bay Area sports. Steph said that. That's all I need. I don't need no birthday shout-out.
Don't listen
shout
to him. He's trying to be Littlefinger a la Game of Thrones. Oh, he's trying to stir some stuff
he's
up.
He's the jealous
dissension
one.
Dissension amongst the ranks.
He's the jealous one. We know. Insecurity speaks loud. Let's go, Mike in Redwood City.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing today? Happy Friday. let's see, the swinging A's. I got a shout-out. I was born in 1965. To take baseball very seriously, and the first team that really emerged as my childhood got into baseball was the Swingin' A's. They were the coolest team. My mind's getting a little foggy. I'm forgetting things, but one thing I'll never forget. I will never forget Catfish, Reggie, Campy, Bill North, Dick Green, Darryl Knowles, Raleigh Fingers, Gene Tennis, Sal Bando. The list goes on and on and on. I'm getting emotional.
There
I
is.
Miss my A's.
Good shout out, Mike. Let's get to Jack and Tibber on. Jack, what's happening?
What's going on, guys? Can you hear me?
Yep.
Hello. I got two quick shout outs today. My first shout out is to my beautiful girlfriend. It's our 1 year anniversary today, and I'm so happy I'm with her.
Young love.
Love that. Puppy love, baby. Nothing like puppy love.
Shout out Holy Angels 5th grade volleyball team. Go get them tomorrow.
Oh, shout out to the Skyline Titans.
There we go.
At home against Irvington. We got to go. Injury report. They look at the Duke
Burling
and Jason on the other
Club
side.
Pink soccer, 3-0.
We'll continue to shout out to the other side. We'll give people time. We've been a little long there.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
PF Flyer, YouTube. Looks like Bonte dressed himself today. I'm dripped out, baby. Got the drip on.
Possibly.
Well, Jordan Elliott had the drip on Sunday. He was limited to practice due to a foot injury. He's questionable for Sunday. As of now, as the defensive line continues to take hits, but George Kittle did participate. Limited. He was limited. But he said, felt good to play football again. He's excited to play football again. So it sounds like he's on track to play Sunday against the New England Patriots. Whenever I hear George Kittle, I think of Guru. George Kittle. Maybe he plays on Sunday and we'll say, George Kittle. Touchdown. Anyway, injury report brought to you by Boxer Garrison, North California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back over 40 years. What's coming up in the game? Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Greg Bernard, founder of the Boston Sports Journal. He's going to join us and shed some light on who the Patriots are. That's coming up here on the Roast. Forget my opinion.